We're going to turn the temperature up this morning as we talk more about the Holy Spirit. Last week we were thinking about Spirit-filled disciples living in community with one another. And as the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in the hearts of believers when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And that's when the hard work really starts, as we submit daily to his leading and showing us where we're going wrong. Because we like that, don't we? We like to be told where we're going wrong. Yeah. Once we can get our heads around the fact that God wants to be with us forever, that we're never alone in this journey that we call life, then the adventure really begins. You excited?
Yes.
That's more like it. I wonder where you were last week. I'm feeling that you're coming back this week. I was preaching yesterday at a minister's induction. You might have heard me talking about Graham, who I've been marking his papers for the last 6 years. He was inducted in his church. And as I was preaching, and I just saying to Kathy, there was lots of Salvation Army and Pentecostal people in the congregation as well. So I got lots of response. So I'm expecting you to out-Pentecostal the Pentecostals. But I love it when we think about the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, the dynamite. I always pray for holy dynamite in this place that would give us the potential, the power, the ability to do what God wants each one of us to do. Because the Holy Spirit possesses a dynamite kind of power that works within us to blast out anything that isn't of God. And so I pray that that would happen, and I don't care, as long as we're insured, the building can do what the building wants. But the impact of the Holy Spirit dwelling within a person is when we get that resource to be able to be and do what God wants us to do in our transformed life. And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord, and take over our lives. You are true love, love divine, flowing and glowing brightness in our darkness, power in our weakness, peace in our troubled life. What beauty and purity, sweet fragrance and harmony, what splendor and wonder, such joy and glory, Lord. You are so brilliant and illumined, so caring and comforting, so gentle and renewing, so patient and liberating, so protective and wise. You are true love, divine Lord. Come and take possession of our souls. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Let's sing together number 882, Lord of all hopefulness.
Just as the child.
Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we worship today, give us a vision. Move us by your Holy Spirit. Bring good news to us all. Bring freedom and peace to broken people. And let us get a taste of your kingdom here on earth. Open our eyes to see you as you are. And open our hearts to praise you. Give us a vision that will take us out of our comfort zones and lead us into new ways of serving you. Help us to be agents of your love to all people. In a world where there is so much division and hate, help us to be beacons of hope in a world that is sinking deeper into fear and despair. Help us to be agents of your peace in a world that is torn apart by conflict and wars. In our worship today, Father God, give us a vision through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious Lord, you have blessed us with freedom. Freedom to follow or to turn away. Freedom to love or to hate. Freedom to heal or to hurt. You ask only that we follow your ways, loving our neighbours as ourselves. In the midst of our turbulent lives, help us to find your guidance, to show us the gifts you set within us, and help us claim these gifts today. O Holy One, I pray, ignite within us a fiery passion for your mission in the world today. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with your Spirit. Lord, walk beside us and hold us up in difficult times. Lord, walk behind us and protect us. Lord, walk ahead of us and help us to follow you all the days of our lives. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we reiterate the words of those prayers by singing number 664, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." And if you want to go for a walk up the aisles, feel free.
Thank you.
That's more like it. You've woken up. That's good. Last week, as I was saying during my retreat, I was thinking about the period between Ascension and Pentecost. And while I've been reflecting and meditating, I kind of got it down to three words: that the disciples were commissioned, that they waited, and then boom. You're not going to find that word in the Bible. But that's how I feel like the impact of the Holy Spirit had on those early believers, not just the disciples, but those that were gathered with them. And we saw the result of that at Pentecost. And then, as we read last week, as numbers were added daily. And that's what we pray for, isn't it? That numbers would be added daily, that people would come and hear the good news of Jesus. But they're only going to hear it if they can see it. And if they don't see it in our everyday lives, they're going to go, well, what's the difference with them then? You know, they say they follow Jesus. They're not very happy, are they? They're a miserable lot. Got to be able to see the Spirit of Jesus, of God, moving and working within us. As we look at our reading this morning from Galatians, and I'll get you to find it now, number page on 1171, saves you doing it. Galatians chapter 5. And in fact, you can go to 1172. The only reason I said 1171, because verse 1 is kind of like the crux of what Paul's been saying. He begins chapter 5 by stating flatly that Christ has set us free in order that we should be free. Verse 1 said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." In the previous passage to ours this morning, Paul has spoken truth to the Galatian Christians. That truth applies to all Christians, even today. His plea is for believers not to waste their freedom in Christ on serving their own self, their own flesh, as he calls it, and their own selfish desires. Instead, he has told those free in Christ to serve each other in love. He's describing a life of self-sacrifice lived out in response to God's love for us. And so I'll ask Pauline if she'll come and give us the rest of the reading from page 1172.
This is not an easy reading, so we have to wait to the end for the real point of it all. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living in that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. This is the word of God.
It's what I like about Paul. He doesn't mess around, does he? Say it as it is. Paul adds to his advice to the believers to act in accord with the Holy Spirit. He urges them to become living fruit of the Spirit, using their unique gifts for the kingdom of God. It focuses on how God's Spirit gives those in Christ the power to serve others in love. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to lead. However, when we don't, our selfishness will lead us into all kinds of sinful lifestyles. When we live by the Spirit, we gain more than just being able not to live in sin. What comes out of us is a collection of powerful, positive characteristics, and we're going to think about that after we prepare our hearts to hear God's word as we sing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," number 67. 67. Let's pray. Gracious God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, for all that you have done and will do by your grace. Amen. So today's, excuse me, too much talking. Today's big question, do you feel free?
Yes.
You can say no, you can say I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you feel free?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, that's good. Hedge your bet. What? Yeah. The longer I leave it, the more you'll change your mind. What is freedom? What does freedom mean to you?
The ability to choose.
The ability to choose.
No responsibilities.
No responsibilities. Sorry?
Have
you have those. No responsibilities. Yes, she's the other end of the country. God will look after her. We're talking about Annabelle, by the way.
Making your own decisions.
Making your own decisions.
Joy.
Joy. Ooh, lovely. Yeah? Anyone else? These are the ones that are like, oh, I don't know if I feel free or not. What's she going to ask? We were free to come here this morning to worship, weren't we? That's freedom. You know, we pray, don't we, so often for people who don't have the freedom that we have, that we take for granted. We can choose, can't we? Well, I can't. Everyone else can choose whether we come and worship or not. And when we think of the people who worship anyway and find ways to worship, even when they're not free to do so, that's a real, bless you, Marcus, real strong faith. So yes, as you said, we have freedom to choose, freedom to love, freedom to believe, freedom to create. And what does it feel like? Louise said it feels joyful. For those of you who said, yes, I feel free, how are you feeling? Yeah, I bet you do. It's good to see you, Tony. Tony's feeling great this morning. Doesn't mean to say we have to go through what he went through to feel free. But it is, isn't it? It's liberating. We feel carefree.
But if you've got to make all your own decisions, that's not, that can be a pain.
Yes, it can.
Yes,
yeah, yeah. It's nice sometimes. I often say to my friends, you decide, you know, because like when I've made all my decisions all week, it's like it's nice for someone else to say, actually, let's do this. Yes, freedom is a responsibility. Yeah, yeah. But when you feel free, you can feel it, can't you? You can experience it.
It's watching the Swifts, because they just are free.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Swifts, any birds of the sky mostly, yeah, yeah. I was admiring my sparrow mafia this morning until the pigeons landed and they all scattered. But it is, isn't it? It's lovely just to watch nature, because it doesn't have the burdens and the worries that we have. Just gets on with it. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us, isn't it? That, you know, why worry? Look at the sparrows of the field. Look at the swifts. Look at the house martins.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So if you Google freedom, as I often do Google or look up in the dictionary, in the broadest sense, it's the power or right to act, speak or think as one wants without hindrances or external constraints. And if you think about it, we talk about freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, freedom of political freedom, freedom of choice. But as we look at our world today, we can see that those freedoms are starting to have constraints put upon them, aren't they? You know, there is a freedom of speech as long as you agree with what I say. Yeah? Or the little snowflakes of the world now get so upset, don't they, when you tell them as it is. You know, that's life. We have the importance of freedom in social justice. It's a fundamental human right. It's crucial for a just and reasonable society. And when you think of other places that don't live under that freedom, we realise just where the world has gone, as far away from God's word as it could get. Someone said, true freedom means you're not concerned with other people's opinions, views and actions. You also don't have the need to explain why your ideas and actions are the best. Wow. Should we try living like that for the rest of the morning? See how we get on as a community? Should make our coffee time really interesting. But somebody said that. Freedom of speech. Thankfully, someone else suggested, freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the strength of character to do what is good, true, noble, and right. I think those are the words of Paul. Freedom without discipline is impossible. Now, that sounds a bit more like it, doesn't it? It sounds like we're getting a bit more to the biblical understanding. We heard it twice, didn't we, in our reading this morning? So what is freedom in the Bible? Someone states, if our definition of freedom is not based on the biblical definition, then it is not true freedom. Jesus said that the truth would set us free. Since Jesus himself is the truth, his words to us will free us. Do we live like that? Free because we know the one who is the truth, the one who is the way, the life. We heard earlier, you read from the New Living Translation, didn't you? Yeah, that's what I've written down. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And that doesn't mean to say that's as we've just heard, because most of you look quite horrified by the general idea of freedom. It's not a license for self-indulgence, but rather a call to love and serve one another and those beyond these walls in the Spirit. And in verse 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. It's like I always say, if something's repeated, it's worth listening to. And it helps us to remember, doesn't it? You know, if you hear something over and over again, you either get sick to death of hearing it, or you actually, it's lodged in your brain. In the Bible, freedom is primarily presented as freedom from the enslaving power of sin and its consequences, leading to a life of service to God and others. Definitely, as we read through Paul's letters, that's definitely the understanding we get. It's not the absence of physical restraint or the ability to do whatever one desires, but rather a liberation from the bondage of sin and self-focus through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that when we become a little bit feeling sorry for ourselves or do the poor me, and we all go through it, don't we, sometimes, that actually doesn't make us feel free, does it? It actually becomes quite a weight on our shoulders. Freedom allows believers to live in accordance with God's will and experience his fullness of life that he intends. And so, as I said, freedom is something that we can experience. It's free, it's life. Walking with the Spirit is beneficial to our spiritual well-being and produces much fruit. That's why we had the big crescendo at the end. Wait till we get to the end. These are the things that can be produced in us. True freedom in the Bible is not just freedom from something, but also freedom for something. It's the freedom to serve God and others, to live a life of love, of compassion, of righteousness, reflecting God's character, identified in our passage, as we heard, as the fruits of the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You all sang it with gusto. Did you mean it? You sounded like you did. Didn't see a lot of walking in the aisles, mind you. We remember that as believers, we have the indwelling Spirit of Christ, the Comforter who comes from the Father. In the letter to the Christians in Galatia, Paul tried to get them to understand that inner conflict that goes on to all who belong to Christ. This battle that goes on, and it goes on in each and every one of us, between our sinful nature and the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Because of our self-centered nature, it wants its own way. Now, I know that's going to come as a shock to us all. Who likes to get their own way? Yeah, come on. It fights the rule of Christ within us, and so often we end up doing what we want rather than what God wants. We're called to submit to the will of God and to walk in the Spirit. Whenever we read the word walk in the Bible, and I've said this before, it's a metaphor for our practical daily living. You know, we talk about our Christian life, don't we, as a journey or as a walk, because if we're walking, we're usually moving forwards, yeah? I mean, we do sometimes walk backwards when we forgot what we want in the supermarket, but often we are walking forwards. And so we are urged. That's what I like about Paul. He urges us to move forward as we grow in faith. If we all stay where we've always been, how is God's word going to produce fruit in us that we can then go and share with others? The biblical standard for all believers is that we walk in the Spirit, because as Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life when we're born again, as we read in John, and we must continue to live day by day in that Spirit. The Spirit of God creates something new. He takes out of us, as we read in Ezekiel, that heart of stone that rebels against God. And he puts into us a new heart which trusts God and follows his ways. The Spirit of God is powerful and gives believers that supernatural ability to live as Christ does, instead of serving ourselves. Our own way always leads to sin and impacts our relationship with God. Paul says in verse 15, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to give in to our own way all the time. And he produces that list that was read out to us earlier. And that isn't an exhaustive list. I mean, it was a pretty long list already. But that is the list of a sinful lifestyle. And as we look around us, as we see those lifestyle choices becoming more and more prevalent, having a louder voice in our society, it becomes harder, doesn't it? And he reminds them, this isn't the first time I've warned you. You know that if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Our hearts should be breaking for what's going on in our society, for what's going on with our friends, with our family, what can go on in our own lives when we stray off the path. But then Paul offers a second list. This one reveals what comes out of those who allow God's Spirit to lead the way. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. I'm reading from the Message, you might have guessed. Fruit with its 9 characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here we see what the Spirit can do for the Spirit-dependent person. That 9-fold picture of how Christ operated. And Paul is appealing to us to walk in this way, to depend on the Spirit alone so that we can manifest those fruits of the Spirit. That means that for those of us who trust in Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, we've made the choice to crucify our sinful desires along with them. That doesn't mean that we'll never sin again until Christ comes. But it does mean that when we keep in step with God's Spirit, we don't need to sin. In that way, we have been freed from sin's power as well as its penalty. When we keep in step with the Spirit, it means that we, as we walk along in our Christian lives, we are to follow the Spirit's lead. We are to be in harmony with Him. I was talking last week about how I found a different rhythm while I was off. And I love that rhythm of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. If we get out of step, if we march to a different beat or stray off the correct pathway, the results will be obvious. The Bible teaches us to walk in the Spirit by following the example of Jesus, and it's essential that we learn the meaning and significance of this in our lives. May we be bold enough to pray daily that the Spirit of God gives us the awareness and discernment concerning life and his work in our lives and in the world in which we live. I don't know about you, but I want to know what he wants me to do, which is why it's vital to know how to walk in the Spirit. I want to be dynamite, dynamic for him. Is that what you want? For you? For your families? For your friends? For your community? You're not excited enough for me? Is that what you want?
Yes.
Right, good, good. Told you I'm back. As we walk by the Spirit, we have that reliance upon him. He leads the way and we follow. As he speaks, we listen, we heed his warnings and obey his directions. The Spirit's way is a path of surrender, which, although difficult, leads to fullness of life, to the freedom that we were talking about. He supplies everything that we need to live a godly life, and it produces amazing fruit in each one of us. It's amazing, isn't it, as we list those nine, to think how they manifest themselves. And sometimes we see, don't we, as we look at one another, we see different fruits more prevalent than others. And I know often when I ask the question, and certainly before, most of us would say, well, actually, we probably need a bit more patience and a bit more self-control. Because those two are real biggies, aren't they? As we intentionally seek to maintain an awareness of his presence throughout the day, he's only a thought away. The other words that I've told you in the past, for the Spirit is breath, is wind. He's only a breath away as we breathe in, as we breathe out. When our mind turns to the Holy Spirit, he gives us sensitivity to the things of God and discernment about the situations and people in our lives. So take a walk with the Spirit today and learn to know his voice. This attitude is a learned behaviour. I sometimes wish that all this God stuff was just like that. But if it was, then what would we do for the rest of our lives? Isn't it a blessing that we can walk daily and learn more daily? Because if we knew everything immediately, it would blow our brains. Whenever our mind is not occupied with the responsibilities of the day, then we should focus our thoughts on him, asking for his guidance and looking expectantly, excitedly for his leading. When he gives it, rely on his power to obey. It takes work. It takes obedience. We need to do it and practice. It's like any hobby, isn't it? It's like at your craft group, isn't it? You know, when you share something for the first time and somebody's not done it. But the more you practice, the better you get. And that takes patience. There's no passivity when it comes to walking in the Spirit. When we read through Paul's letters, and particularly those that we've just heard this morning in those verses, he uses the words walk by, led by, and live by so often, and all by the Spirit, which paints a beautiful picture of believers using our wills to allow God's Spirit to set the direction that we will go. Therefore, the life we have in Christ is owed solely to the work of God's Spirit, and we have no ground for boasting at all. We live by the Spirit. All believers have the Holy Spirit. The real question is whether we will rely on him. The Spirit will tell us what to do, but not necessarily how to do it. That's why we have to listen and learn. We see this theme throughout the Word of God. He says to his children to do many things, But he doesn't always tell them the particulars of what he's going to accomplish and through his purposes. You know, when Jesus told the disciples to wait, he just said, wait. Now, I know we've talked about waiting before. If I just said to you now, wait, you'd ask me a million questions. What am I waiting for? How long have I got to wait? When's it going to happen? What am I going to do in the meantime? That's what we're like, isn't it? How would you rate yourself when it comes to walking in step with the Spirit? Are you in rhythm, or are you following a drumbeat of your own making? We face conflict every day, but the Spirit can overcome our sinful desires and win the battle. Which side is winning in our lives? God will give us the victory, but we must be willing to fight. The most used person is the most dependent person who is willing to act on how the Spirit is leading them. May we pray to be led and be filled with the Spirit daily, to yield to his work as he counsels, as he guides, as he comforts, as he's simply there with us. And as we are led by the Spirit in this way, we become better and better at hearing his voice and following his leading. Holy Spirit, may we walk with you today and every day. Amen. And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Breath, live in us. Come, Holy Wind, move through us. Where we are led by other impulses, we become slaves again, and our way of being guided is by fear. Where we are guided by prejudice, fill us with love. Where we are guided by pessimism, fill us with joy. Where we are guided by misunderstanding, fill us with peace. Where we are guided by superficial quick fixes, fill us with patience. Where we are guided by self-interest, fill us with kindness. Where we are guided by apathy, fill us with goodness. Where we are guided by convenience, fill us with faithfulness. Where we are guided by complacency, fill us with meekness. Where we are guided by temptation, fill us with self-control. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Breath, live in us. Come, Holy Wind, move through us. Amen. So with freedom, we have choice and we have hope. And so as we think about that hope, we sing number 428, Lord for the Years. I've already sent you out a couple of emails this week, just a few. The email about the Bible study that's been held in August, please feel free to sign up. And another one will be coming out, the Wickham Youth for Christ Vision and Praise Evening, week on Monday at St Paul's Loudwater at 7:30. All are invited. Please come along and share in the work. Let's pray. May the transforming love of God work in your lives today and always. Go forth into the world with peace, love, joy, and hope. Follow Christ wherever he leads you. Fulfill the promise found in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen.